Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now I can preach it like this, okay? Repent! Or I can tell you, change your mind. Preaching repentance in the area of consciousness of sins is dishonoring the work of Jesus.
Repentance means you realize you're guilty, that you deserve the wrath and punishment of God. You begin to realize that sin is in you, and you turn your back on it in every shape and form. You renounce the world, whatever the cost, and you deny yourself and take up the cross and go after Christ.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome in, and obviously, this is not Todd Friel. This is Jimmy Hicks, and this is Wretched Radio, a special edition of Wretched Radio today. How special? Well, it depends on how you use the word. Anyway, some of you might recall that late last year, we had the pleasure of hosting Justin Peters and Pastor Jim Osmond right here in the Wretched Studios. And while they were visiting, they graciously took the time out of their busy schedules to record a few episodes of Wretched Radio. And since then, we've had the occasion to play a couple of those episodes, but we've been waiting for the perfect moment to share this last one. And today's that day. We thought this would be a fantastic opportunity to dive into this final episode that we've been hanging on to and listen to the wisdom and the insights that Justin Peters and Pastor Jim Osmond, well, mostly Justin Peters, has to offer. So without further ado.
You and I, Justin Peters, are in the Wretched Studio hosting this. We have specific instructions to Todd, one of which was to say 5 positive things about him every episode that we're doing.
Yep.
On the radio.
Todd helped me one night. I can't remember where we were. We were speaking at some conference, and I fell in my hotel room and skinned myself up on my scooter. Texted Todd. He was right there. Yeah. He's
Jimmy,
a good guy.
Jimmy, has he ever helped you like Todd's, that?
He's never helped me like that, but I've got a feeling that he would have helped Justin, and Jim would have just taken pictures and laughed.
That's probably about right.
So all of the stuff that we're covering in this episode, all 4 segments, is given to us by Todd with this instruction: introduce the show, open this envelope, and read on air. I told a buddy that this is what Todd was going to do, and he said, "I cannot believe he would do that to you."
Oh, I can't tell you how nervous I am.
Right. All right, dear Mr. Peters and Mr. Osmond, as you can hopefully see, I used 20-point font sizes. I know how old you 2 are. You're welcome. Your assignment, if you choose to accept it, is to open 1 envelope per segment of Wretched Radio, listened to by tens and tens of people, and comment on the contents of each envelope. I feel the need to remind you, no swearing, and do not turn plurals into singulars. I'm looking at you, Jim Lego Osmond. Try to avoid heresy if at all possible. You'll steer the ship there, Justin.
I'll try.
Please practice self-control and refrain from enthusiastically complimenting me for, 1, my amazing radio abilities, 2, my winsome and joyful personality, 3, my staggering level of humility. Thank you for doing this. I never thought I would say it, but these prison work release programs are actually pretty beneficial. Your best friend, Todd.
That's awesome.
There we go. So, segment 1, on the air. Are you ready?
I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
Jimmy, how much preparation does Todd put into radio?
That I see and witness?
None.
Maybe.
How much preparation do you put?
0.
Yeah, that shows. Okay, you ready? Here we go, segment 1.
Okay.
Segment 1, subject, truth in love. Please take a moment to publicly express your regrets for volunteering to host the program while I'm out lollygagging.
Yeah, I wasn't real sure what I was getting myself into. I'm glad to be here, though. I'm glad to be here.
One more serious note. Do you prefer HGTV or the Hallmark Channel? If you run out of time, please discuss speaking truth in love. How do you harmonize Jesus' table turning with his self-description of being meek and lowly? How do I not fall into a ditch of being namby-pamby or downright jerkish? What do I need to cultivate in my heart to always speak truth in love? You are an expert at speaking the truth in love. I have described your ministry, and I'm not talking to you, Jimmy, or Todd, but to you, Justin. I have described your ministry as like an iron fist in a velvet glove. You somehow, and I don't know if it's that fake Southern accent that you use, or just your stunningly good looks, or the bald spot, or what it is that gives you the ability to do this, but you have an ability to take very difficult truth and not necessarily make it simple, but to hit people with it in a way that makes them receptive to it. I've been with you, and I've seen the number of people come up to you and express their profound thanks to you for what you have done, that they were exposed to a YouTube video, and you don't pull any punches on your YouTube video, and you don't pull any punches on your website, on the things that you say publicly, and even if it's not on your YouTube video, as speaking engagement. You don't pull any punches at all, and yet people receive it because somehow it comes across as loving. Do you genuinely love people, or are you just putting that on?
No, I do. Ephesians 4:15, we're to be speaking the truth in love. And I'm grateful that that is the case. I'm grateful that it comes across that way. I really am. That is one of the things that I strive for, that I've made a matter of persistent prayer in my own life, that it does come across that way. And so, praise the Lord. I guess he is answering those prayers and honoring that. So I give God the credit for it. But yes, I do care about people. I've done a number of videos on my YouTube channel, and I directly engage. They're called like a direct personal plea to Kenneth Copeland, to Jesse Duplantis, to Benny Hinn, Sid Roth, and others. And I confront them, and I tell them that you're not a believer. There's no evidence of conversion in your life. You've been a blasphemer and a heretic and a false prophet for decades, and you've brought untold reproach upon the name of Christ. You've exploited the poor, the sick, and the widows for personal financial gain for decades. But I don't hate you, and I don't hate Benny Hinn. I don't hate Kenneth Copeland. I don't hate these well-known false teachers. I hate what they do.
Are you angry with them?
I am angry at the, in a sense, yeah. I'm angry at their message. I'm angry at what they do. I hate what they do because, number one, they're bringing reproach upon the name of Christ. That's the biggest issue. I have compassion for these people, the sick people, that I see exploited. My heart does go out to them. But what grieves me most of all is the reproach that they're bringing upon the name of Christ before a watching world. That's what the world thinks about Christianity, is this stuff it sees on Christian television. Yeah. So I am angry in that sense. Am I angry at them? In a sense, yes. But I still love them enough to tell them the truth. I don't want Benny Hinn to go to hell. I don't want that. Mm-hmm. I don't want Kenneth Copeland to go to hell. I would love to be able to call these people my brothers in Christ. I would love to see their followers come out of that deception. So,
It's hard to do that sometimes without being, as Todd says, namby-pamby to
yeah.
You know, I can speak the truth. And sometimes when you speak the truth with confidence, people will say, well, you're not loving enough. It doesn't come across. We always have evangelical tone police whose job they think it is to come out and to criticize your tone. They can't really take issue with what you say. It's the tone in which you say it. Somehow you've managed to strike a balance between both of those. I think if I'm ever criticized, it's people just saying you're just not loving enough. You don't come across as loving enough. And maybe that's me on the other side of the spectrum. Maybe Paul Abdul is correct. Yeah, opposites attract. You know, I like to speak the truth and not sound loving. And somehow you can be angry with people. And I can see the deep anger in your eyes over the compromise of the truth and what blasphemy and heresy does to the name of Christ. I can see that this angers you.
It does.
With a righteous indignation, it's not a sinful anger. And yet, when you communicate the truth, it still comes across as loving. I've seen you share the gospel with people in an elevator and on an airplane and in a waiting room. In the way that you do it, it comes across as loving, as genuinely, sincerely concerned for their eternal soul, much the way that Ray Comfort does it. When you listen to Ray Comfort share the gospel, you can tell this guy loves this person.
He does.
Never met him, but he loves him. And you've somehow managed to balance that.
Well, I appreciate that. I do. And you're right. Ray does that. Ray truly does love people. And he's been an encouragement to me in that. And these are real people. You know, these are real people with real souls facing a real eternity in a very real hell apart from Christ. And
how do you cultivate that in your heart? Is that something that comes naturally? Do you think that people just will receive hard truth when it comes from a crippled guy? They look at you and say, this is not somebody who would beat me up if he had the chance. And therefore, they're much more receptive to you because of your handicap. Is there something to that? Or is it something you actually do to cultivate that demeanor?
Other than praying, there's nothing I really do to actively cultivate it. I don't know. It's just, maybe it's my personality. I will say I feel kind of guilty a lot of times because my handicap does provide me an unfair advantage in evangelism a lot of times, because it's, it's the first thing you notice when you see me, of course, and it opens up opportunities. You know, people say, oh, you know, what do you have? And I tell them, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm not, don't be sorry. You know, because the greatest miracle that's ever been done and could be done in my life has already been done when God saved me from my sins. And, you know, if I have to live the rest of my life with cerebral palsy, that's okay. I've got all of eternity to live without it. So yeah, it's easy. My cerebral palsy gives me opportunities to share the gospel more easily maybe than some others.
Yeah. And people seem receptive to what you do, to how you do it, to the spirit in which you do it. And I don't think that it is necessarily your handicap that does that. It is genuinely, if you were able-bodied, as able-bodied as me and as athletic and good-looking as Jimmy Hicks is, if you had all of that going for you, still that demeanor itself would be a benefit to you because you do genuinely love people and it comes across that way.
And that's segment one of this special episode of Wretched Radio with Pastor Jim Osman and Justin Peters. Plenty more brilliance from these guys still to come. Yes, I use the term loosely. And I know what you're thinking, Jimmy, why aren't you thanking these guys for being here and gracing us and you with their presence? Well, you're right. I do want to thank both of them for the time they spend here at Wretched in the Wretched Studios. And so here's my way of thanking them because, you know, I'm not going to do it like normal people. I'm not normal. No, I'm the guy that's going to dig up all the bloopers and the outtakes that they really didn't want to see the light of day. That's what we're going to do right now. Stay with us. Come on back. We have much more from Jim Osman and Justin Peters still to come. This is Wretched Radio.
Oh, we forgot to plug Jimmy Hicks needing a raise. That was an important thing. You need to intro that.
I thought we did. I thought you said
if you listen to Wretched Radio, you'd know that's a thing.
Yeah.
But you don't listen to Wretched Radio, which is, I don't know why you're here.
I watch the TV show.
Gotta tell you, very excited. We have got a new outreach that we are working on with the good folks at the Masters Academy International, talking about getting John MacArthur study Bibles in Spanish to South American countries, some of which we maybe can't mention, if you know what I'm saying. It was such a delightful time, and so many people participated in our Bible distribution to the Philippines. That was such a gas. But as long as I brought up the Masters Academy International, it is a great ministry. It's a privilege to be working with these people. They're very thoughtful. They're very methodical. Teaching men how to preach the Word of God rightly. Then they send them back to their churches where they open up the Bible, perhaps for the first time, at least to that depth. Because of the training of the Masters Academy International, if you want to support a ministry that strengthens the local church, hey, you'd be hard-pressed to do better than TMAI. You can learn more about that, if and you want to, at wretched.org/pastor.
Attention all Christians who refuse to be silenced. Are you tired of seeing culture crumble before your eyes? Picture this. Later this year, 8 brilliant minds, each a powerhouse in their field, will be coming on board and joining forces with us here at Gospel Partners Media, and we're creating a Christian version of the Daily Wire. We'll be tackling tough topics by writing articles, creating resources and homeschool curriculums, video resources, podcasts, and a lot more. These gentlemen will be your guides in navigating this upside-down, brave new world we're living in. But we need your help to make this vision a reality. If you'll join our $250,000 match campaign right now, you can be part of this exciting new chapter. Every dollar you give will be matched up to $250,000. Just visit wretched.org/fellows right now to learn more about the initiative and each of the 8 brilliant minds that will be joining us. That's wretched.org/fellows.
You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I got to tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 1095. Pope Urban II launches the First Crusade to reclaim Jerusalem from Muslim control. The crowd wildly shouts, "God wills it." There would be several crusades over the next centuries, with many tragic results and consequences lasting for centuries. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we are back. It is Wretched Radio. I am Jimmy Hicks, not Todd Friel. Nope, not today. Because this is a special episode of Wretched Radio. Pastor Jim Osmond and Justin Peters are joining us today. They were in studio late last year, recorded several episodes of Wretched Radio, which we have had the occasion to air since that time, except this one. We've been hanging on to this one because we've actually been debating whether we wanted to release it or not. And this is strictly because they won't stop texting and asking about it. So let's get back in to Jim Osmond and Justin Peters as they continue answering on-the-spot questions left by Todd.
Here we go. Practice what you preach. While I've been told it's a very bad thing to play a word association game, I'm going to ask you to practice what you just preached in segment one. Below, you will find a list of troubling cultural and church issues. Please read one at a time and demonstrate how we should speak and what we should say. Speak the truth in love, Justin.
Okay.
Your reputation hinges upon how well you do in this segment. Here's the subject, Drag Time Story Hour.
It's an abomination. It is an abomination. It is Romans 1 on full display. We are seeing people being given over to depraved minds to do those things which are not fitting. It is child abuse. May not be physically beating them, but it is child abuse. And let me say this too. As far as I'm concerned, if you're a man and you get some pleasure, some kick off of dressing up as a woman in garish makeup and you want to be around kids, my assumption about you is that you're a pedophile.
Mm-hmm.
If not in action, certainly in thought. That is my assumption about you.
That doesn't sound very loving.
Well, that is loving, actually, because the most loving thing to do is to tell someone the truth.
Mm-hmm.
The most hateful thing you can do for someone is to know the truth and not tell them. The most loving thing you can do is to tell them the truth. There is something fundamentally wrong in a man that would want to do that. Why do you want always to be around kids, you know, who are not your own? There's just something disturbingly wrong about that. And parents who would take their children to these things, that's child abuse.
Yeah. And we could lovingly point out, look, your responsibility as a parent is to protect your child from
protect
these things, not to turn them over to these things. And so think of the children. Think of what you're doing to the children. And really, this is a violation of God's law, God's order, and God's design. And He has something better for you and for your child. And that better thing is the gospel. That better thing is obeying His commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And that is good for you and your child. That's a loving.
Yes.
All right, next up, seeker sensitivity.
That reflects a lack of a proper ecclesiology, understanding of the church, and a lack of confidence in the power of the gospel. So seeker-sensitive movement basically says, we're going to make our church look like the world. We're going to make our church fun, entertaining, so we can draw people. We're going to have the fancy lights and the rock music and all that. We're going to dress down and be in our skinny jeans and all this kind of stuff. Look cool, look hip.
How do you criticize that or critique that in a loving fashion?
By telling them that as Christians, we're supposed to look different. Mm-hmm. We're not supposed to look like the world. As Christians, if we look like the world, something's fundamentally wrong. We're not supposed to look like the world. Church is not for lost people. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not against inviting lost people to church. I do that.
Mm-hmm.
But church is not fundamentally for lost people. Church, by the definition of the term, ecclesia, called out ones. We have been called out of the world into the family of God. Church is comprised of regenerate people,
mm-hmm.
because only saved people can worship. So if you're...
Yeah, sometimes you can appeal to people who are in seeker-sensitive churches by simply saying, are you being fed every Sunday? Are you getting everything out of church that you really think that a church should be? Or do you think that there's something more that you're missing out on that church is not providing? I had a couple who had... we came into contact with who went to a goat farm. I call them goat farms in our neighborhood, our
That's
neck of the woods.
Are.
And I did that very thing. I had them over for dinner and we started chatting with them and I asked them, are you really being fed there? And through the course of just asking some questions, it turned out, no, they're not being fed there. And
yeah.
I said, do you realize that there's something more, there's something better for you than what they're doing? What they're doing is unbiblical. And that's why it's starving your soul.
That's right.
All right, number three, critical race theory.
Critical race theory.
Racist?
No, I'm not a racist,
well,
but the
that's
very
the evidence that you're racist.
Evidence that I am a racist.
Jimmy,
you're
racist?
No.
Critical race theory. How do you speak the truth in love?
Okay. Critical race theory is a worldly philosophy disguising itself as a theological movement, at least for the evangelicals, for the church folks. Critical race theory is secular, it is Marxist, and it cultivates in people a victimhood mentality, an entitlement mentality, but even a victimhood mentality. Mm-hmm. And that is the surest way to inoculate someone against the gospel. If you see yourself as a victim, you will never come to Christ. We're not victims. We're enemies of God. We're
perpetrators.
Rebels. We're perpetrators. We're lawbreakers. We're criminals. We're the enemies of God apart from Christ.
How do you critique that without sounding like a racist? Like you hate black people.
It has nothing to do with race. And there's only one race. That's Acts 17, verse 26. There's only one race. So if Vodi Balcom were here with us, two white guys and a black guy, there would only be one race represented.
That's right.
There's different ethnicities, but there's only one race. So the critical race theory and the social justice movement in general, it is trying to build up divisions between people that the gospel has already smashed down, has already ground to powder. And the social justice movement is trying to erect these divisions back up, and they're artificial, they're unbiblical.
So we simply appeal to people and say, don't you think that there's a better answer for racism? This ethnic hostility? Don't you think that there's a better answer? The better answer is in Scripture and what God has done on the cross, not through a social program.
Yeah.
And we're pointing people to something positive. Fourth, unbiblical ecumenism. We know what it is. Quickly, we're running out of time. Critique, because I got two more.
Okay.
I want to make sure I get to these last two.
Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I will vote with people of a different religion if we're voting for, like, say, a conservative candidate. I will not pray with them. Mm-hmm. I will not hold hands with someone who denies the gospel.
Isn't that unloving?
That is loving. That is the most loving thing to do, is to tell them the truth. So yes, ecumenism is unbiblical and it's a reproach on the gospel.
Next up, Joe Biden.
Joe Biden?
Yeah. How do you address that? How do you speak of that? We don't know what the truth regarding Joe Biden is, but how do you address that issue and him being our president and what's going on in our culture and society and the political system in a loving way?
Well, if you take a literal reading of Romans 13, and I'm not sure how else to read it, Joe Biden is put there by God.
Even if it's a judgment.
Even if it's a judgment. And that's what he is. Mm-hmm. He is a judgment. We are seeing the most wicked, unbiblical, anti-Christ administration that we have ever seen in this country. But it is put there and established there by God as part of God's judgment on us. So, I'm praying that we would have maybe a reprieve in the next term, but there's no guarantee of that. God's in control of it. It is the judgment of God.
It is difficult not to join the culture's way of mocking, of teasing, of ridiculing. You see the Babylon Bee kind of jump into that once in a while. You see parody sites. You see Christians, even conservative Christians, who will jump into the mockery game. That's difficult to not jump into that. It is tempting, and we... Sometimes you and I will go back and forth and we'll joke about things. I mean, we joke about some of the stammering and stuff. It really, for me, is just looking at where we're at as a culture and realizing how far we have fallen and how under the judgment of God we are, that these are the people who lead us. These are the people who rule us. As Calvin said, when God wants to judge a people, he gives them wicked rulers.
That's right.
That's where we are at. You see that in the history of Israel. You see that in the history of other nations. When God gives them wicked rulers, it is his judgment upon them. It's getting what we deserve.
It is.
Yeah.
And even with Joe Biden, as evil as his administration is, I still don't hate Joe Biden. I want to see that man come to Christ. That's what I want for him, and I pray for that for him.
Yeah. Last up, and this is difficult, and this is one I think you can talk to. Phil Johnson's denial that he doesn't dye his hair. How do you speak the truth about that in love? Phil Johnson's denial that he doesn't dye his hair.
You know, Kenneth Copeland says the same thing. He's 86 years old, and he says he doesn't dye his hair.
Black hair like
Phil Johnson? Yeah, he does. Did? Yeah. But Phil Johnson, if you look real closely, you can see a gray hair here.
You don't have to look closely at your hair to see it is there right on the surface.
My hair is turning gray and turning loose.
Well, it's not on the surface of your bald spot, but it is there on the surface of your hair.
I appreciate you pointing that out, Jim.
Jimmy, do you have any gray hair?
I got plenty of gray hair.
Yeah.
In my beard.
In your beard.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like his beard was chiseled out of stone.
Thank you so much.
Well manicured. How much do you pay for that?
Not enough.
Not enough? You don't do that yourself, do you?
Yes, I do.
In a mirror?
Yeah.
Man, not only a beard like that. Do you dye the hair in your beard?
I do not.
He's a liar. We should be dealing with...
It's got a demon.
Jimmy. It's got a demon. We should be dealing with Jimmy's refusal to admit that he dyes his hair.
Right.
Justin, do you dye your hair?
No, I do not. It's pretty obvious. I don't.
I see pictures of you back when you were younger, when you came to do your seminar at my church, 2010.
Yep.
You have lost.
The fall has taken its toll on me since then.
It's going down. You walk slower than you used to. You're crippled now.
I know. I've got a perpetual case of CP that I can't seem to shake. But Phil Johnson, I've never seen a man that's 70 years old that has as much hair as I don't think a hair has ever fallen from his scalp.
And nor has he lost a step mentally in terms of his ability to preach and lead and shepherd God's people.
All right, folks. Well, it's time for a break right this moment. But don't go anywhere. There is plenty more from Justin Peters and Pastor Jim Osmond still to come. And there's plenty more of me thanking them for being here. This is Wretched Radio.
You have 1,200 messages.
You know who does have 1,200 messages on their phone right now? It's Justin Peters. You know why that is? Because if you're any rando along the street and you ask for Justin Peters' phone number, he'll give it to you.
Really?
Oh, I'm always runs in your pants. No. We got to go. Don't give him your phone number. Here's my home address.
Here's my favorite color.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, we start with a disturbing display of anti-Israel bias. The president of Sonoma State University in California agreed to a set of demands from anti-Israel protesters, including an academic boycott of Israel. That would mean SSU would not pursue any study abroad programs with Israeli institutions. The agreement also involved disclosing university vendor contracts to seek divestment strategies from Israel. Thankfully, the California State University Chancellor quickly denounced this misguided agreement, placing President Lee on administrative leave for insubordination. It's encouraging that some leadership out there still will stand up for our Jewish friends and the nation of Israel. In other news, NBC has stooped to a new low in its promotion of the LGBTQ agenda. They plan to air a television special in June called Queer Planet, which will highlight same-sex relations in the animal kingdom. NBC apparently believes that gay penguins and gender-bending mushrooms should be our model for human sexuality. Yeah, here's a newsflash, NBC. Animals also eat their young and mark their territory in urine. We should be aiming a bit higher as a civilization, NBC. Moving on, a former diversity program manager at Facebook and Nike is getting a little bit of justice. Barbara Furlow Smiles is her name. She's been sentenced to over 5 years in prison for stealing over $5 million through an elaborate scheme involving fraudulent vendors and expense reports. Furlow Smiles was said to be very inclusive in her crime spree. She recruited friends, relatives, babysitters, and more to help her conceal the kickbacks. Turns out, fighting against the evils of capitalism can be quite lucrative. Her redistribution of wealth plan has now landed her in jail. That's what I call equity. Well, in medical news, a top British pediatrician has called out U.S. doctors for being out of date when it comes to surgical interventions and hormonal interventions for trans-identified minors. Dr. Hilary Cass is her name, and she recently published a landmark study which calls the U.K. National Health Service to pause first appointments at gender youth clinics. Cass warns that there is remarkably weak evidence for prescribing puberty blockers to kids and that the U.S. medical system has failed gender-confused youth. The fact that a European socialist healthcare system recognizes this as child abuse while American doctors just plow forward is a pretty troubling indictment. But yet, here in America, our U.S. medical associations just bury their heads in the ideological sand, don't they? Well, in more gender-bending insanity, the Vancouver police are referring to an adult male suspect who assaulted a breastfeeding mother as she in the official press release. I guess we're not allowed to trust our lying eyes anymore when it comes to sex and gender. A shirtless, shoeless 26-year-old dude named Nathaniel can just identify his way out of accountability for attacking a woman and a baby. Welcome to this upside-down, brave new world we're living in, folks. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is the ability to discern between true and false spirits. Satan masquerades as an angel of light, and many false teachers present their lies as God's truth. But God has given us His truth, and He has equipped us to tell true from false in accordance with His word. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we are back to this special edition of Wretched Radio. I'm not Jimmy Hicks. I am Jimmy Hicks. I'm not Todd Friel. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Let me get that one straight. And today we've handed the reins over to none other than Pastor Jim Osman and Justin Peters. These guys were in the studio late last year, and we've been holding on to this last episode of Wretched Radio that they recorded, and they won't stop texting us and asking about when we're going to release it. So that's what we're doing today. It's been great so far, but you know what they say about too much of a good thing.
Todd left us four envelopes, however you want to pronounce that, depending on where you're from. Jimmy, how do you say them? Envelope or envelope?
Envelope. Well, I probably say it differently depending on who I'm talking to.
Well, if you talk to the British, what would you say? Envelope?
Probably.
If down south, say it with your southern accent.
Envelope.
There we go. Justin, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Subject 3, adulting. The national trend is undeniable. Youth are delaying adulthood in virtually every sector of life, marriage, childbearing, home buying, debt reducing, etc. First, please speak to the younger folks. Why marriage is good, why having children is good, why you should work hard to subdue your corner of the earth, why you should not only listen but seek out wisdom from older brothers and sisters. Then we'll speak to the older folks. He has some other things, so let's deal with that. Why is marriage good? Why is children good? Why should you work hard to subdue your corner of the earth?
Marriage is good because it is an institution created by God. That's first and foremost why it's good. It's his idea, his creation. And by the way, he gets to define it. There's no such thing as homosexual marriage. Mm-hmm. It's like there's no such thing as a square circle. So God defines marriage. It is a good thing. It's not good. When you look at the creation account in Genesis, everything was good. Evening and morning, first day, second day, third day, everything was good until God said it is not good. In fact, all of creation was very good. But then he said, it is not good that man should be alone. And so God created a helper for him. Mm-hmm. So marriage is a good thing. It's not good for a man. Generally speaking, there's a few exceptions, right? That they're completely content being single, and that's how they serve the Lord. And scripture affirms that. But generally, it's not good for a man to be alone, mm-hmm. or for a woman to be alone. And so I've been married to Kathy for 13 years. And when I think back to my life before her, it just seems like a different lifetime ago. And in many ways, it was. I can't imagine being without her. So it is a good thing. It's good to have someone to share your life with, to grow in Christ with, grow in the Lord with, have children with. Mm-hmm. Children are a blessing from the Lord. That's what Scripture says. They're a blessing from the Lord. And pour your life into those kids, teach them the Word of God, and raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord.
There was a time when I delayed and put off having kids. My wife and I were married in 1993. We just celebrated 30 years of marriage this year. So 1990s, how the world was going to come to an end by the year 2000. We were going to be in a totalitarian police state back then. I mean, they missed it by 30 years. Back then, I thought that was going to happen. And my wife and I had these conversations. She wanted to have kids, and I didn't want to have kids. And I put it off and delayed and finally reluctantly conceded that we would start having kids because I thought the difficult times are coming, and I don't want to have kids during difficult times. It just makes the difficulty more difficult. Having children, and I say this with compassion for those who are not married and have never had kids or can't have kids. And I don't mean in any way to demean that at all. That is a difficult thing. Sure. But having children has been, apart from my salvation and my wife, one of the greatest blessings of my life. I love my four kids. All four of my children now are married. All of them fortunately married before they were even 25 years old. Most of my kids married before they were 21.
Yeah.
Three out of the four married before they were 21. Married young, married godly people, married believers and they all attend my church. Such a huge blessing. Now I have grandchildren, two grandchildren here, two on the way. A massive blessing, incredible blessing. And I say to people, if you're putting that off, if you're deciding not to do that, you are missing out on one of God's greatest joys and greatest treasures. God has created you to live as an adult, to exercise dominion, to have a family, to bless others, to fill the earth, multiply and fill the earth. And the children are a great blessing. Before all of my children were married, when I think it was one of them or two of them, and I'm looking at my wife for confirmation on this, but before all of them were married, I think the two of them had yet to be married, we were sitting at a kitchen table and we were talking. This was before we had grandchildren and before any of them were really trying to have grandchildren. And sitting at my kitchen table, my whole family is there. My son and his wife were there, and they had talked about having kids. And they were talking about, you know, it's difficult times. It's the same stuff that I had believed back when I was much younger. And I said to them, in the 1990s, I had the same conversation. I had the same thinking. I thought difficult times were coming, and difficult times may still be coming. But I said, I would rather go through difficult times with the people sitting at this table than to go through difficult times with just me and your mother sitting at this table.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys are the blessing. You guys are the grace of God in my life that has made difficult times faceable.
Yeah.
Right. And now you've got grandchildren. You have the opportunity to have kids of your own. You pour into them. It is something that we do to build the next generation. It is a great gift from God.
Yeah.
So that's why I've raised my kids. Marry well. Yeah. Marry well because you want to marry once and marry early and have lots of grandchildren.
Yeah.
For me, because I don't have to pay for them. The paying part of what I've done is all done.
That's right.
Now I just get to sit back and have them hang out.
Yeah. Now you've got all this extra money that's being eaten up by inflation.
So. Yeah, Jimmy, you got grandchildren?
Do not have grandchildren.
You got enough gray in your beard. I thought you would have grandchildren. Second, speak to the older folks. How should we view a distinctly different generation? How we should speak to them in a way that they will listen, and how should we encourage them to expedite adulthood? Speak to the older folks. How do older folks speak to a distinctly different generation, the younger generation?
You know, I don't talk to young people any differently than I would talk to old people, really, because truth is truth. Mm-hmm. Truth transcends all culture, all ages. So when I talk to young people, I don't try to be more hip. I don't try to act cooler or anything. I don't know. I'm the same way with them as I am with older people. So I would encourage our older, more seasoned saints to just talk to young people like you would talk to anyone else. It's truth is truth.
Ironically, we live in a culture where the people want to be adolescents forever.
Yep.
They never want to grow up.
Yep.
And so they want to be children forever. And we live in a culture that at the very same time wants to be robbing people of the childhood that they could have by exposing them to adult things all too early.
Yeah, that's
so we're exposing them to adult content, adult movies, adult language, adult books, adult concepts of sexuality and adult issues on the news. Constantly. You have mothers who are bringing their children to Drag Queen Story Hours, which we talked about in the second segment. So they're robbing people of their childhood, not allowing them to have a childhood, and then at the same time encouraging them by allowing them to stay on their parents' insurance plan and by allowing them to stay in their parents' basement. They're encouraging them to put off adulthood as long as they can. So they never get, if you follow the world's way today, you never get the best of any world. You're robbed of the innocence of your childhood, and then you put off ever becoming an adult with all of its blessings.
Yep.
So you don't get either of the good of either of them. You get all the evil of both of them.
Yep. That's right.
It's crazy what we're doing to kids.
It is. It absolutely is. I think John MacArthur has called it a war on children.
It is.
It is a war on children. That's what we're saying. It's a war on children.
And I think, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead. But we welcome the interruptions.
Todd and I had an interesting conversation one day, and I'm not sure that this was even on air, but it struck me. One of the things that he pointed out is when you look at kids that live in these situations, where you see a whole lot of children today being told by social media to hate their parents. You know, your parents are idiots. They don't know anything. But then the children stay home as long as possible and get sheltered in that sheltered environment. And then when they move out, instead of, you would think, almost realizing, okay, my parents were right. What you're seeing a lot more of is that separation is increasing. They're hating their parents even more because now they feel like, well, you didn't prepare me for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting take that I didn't ever consider before.
And meanwhile, good parents are really trying to prepare their children for adulthood, but the children are following the lies of the culture, and they're rejecting the input that their parents are seeking to have in their lives. And it really puts off adulthood and really doing adult things. And then we live in a technological age where sometimes that's rewarded, and you can actually put off responsibility because other things will do the things that responsible adults used to do.
Yep.
So in our next segment, we've got one last envelope here to open from Todd. This seems like a good opportunity for you to tell us who your kids and grandkids quickly, because I've got a lot I want to talk about. Go.
Yeah. So I've got three kids and seven grandkids now. Now, Kathy and I were married 13 years ago, so long story short, Kathy's first husband, John, died. He quite literally dropped dead of a heart attack. And so they had three kids, but those kids are grown now and having children. So it's kind of cool. You know, Kathy's kids are not my biological. We got married later in life. But the grandkids that we're having, I'm the only granddad they've ever known.
Yeah.
So I'm just their granddad. I'm Pop.
And you got the gray hair to go along with
it. And I got the gray hair to go along with it.
I have four children, Taryn and her husband, Joe, Shepley and his wife, Melina, Aiden and her husband Trenton, and Liam and his wife Molly. They just got married at the end of July. Got two grandchildren, Desmond and Riley. So we have a full house now, and they would be upset with me if I didn't mention their names on the air. All of them are Wretched Radio fans.
And just when you thought it couldn't get any better. Yeah, that's the right word to use. Hey, we've got much more from Jim Osman and Justin Peters still to come. They continue to prove us wrong. These guys are just like the gift that keeps on giving, or the house guest that wouldn't leave. I'm just being serious. All right, hold on. We have much more still to come. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more from Jim Osman and Justin Peters. This is Wretched Radio.
Probably shouldn't have said signing off. That sounds too final.
We're all going to die when we're done with that segment. Justin Peters and Jim Osman saying goodbye to their loved ones for the last time. Thanks, Justin.
Do I need?
Thank you for that compliment.
Well, that was insincere. You couldn't tell that? I thought that was insincere.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today. Let me tell you just how this ministry is going to be changing lives later this year. With your help, meet Dr. John Krotz, one of the new powerful voices who will soon be joining this ministry later in the year. Dr. Krotz is a pastor at Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia. He holds a doctorate of ministry from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and Dr. Krotz has also authored several books, including Graciousness, Tempering Truth with Love, and of course, Loving the Church. His work focuses on theology and pastoral care, helping believers grow in their faith and their love for the church. And your support can help bring more voices like Dr. Krotz to the forefront. Just join our $250,000 match campaign, which is happening right now. You can visit wretched.org/fellows to see how you can partner with us, and together we can transform lives with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
This May, how would you like to create countless Mother's Day celebrations? You say, I can't do that. I only have one mother. While that is most certainly true, there are countless women who find themselves in a crisis pregnancy situation, perhaps being pressured to abort their child. Enter Preborn Ministries, providing ultrasounds, clothing, food, counseling, and best of all, the gospel. And if you would consider supporting Preborn Ministries during the month of May, we have a matching gift campaign taking place, which means dollar for dollar, your gift will be matched. That means if you provide, say, 5 ultrasounds for $28 per ultrasound, that will be 10 babies, because women choose life when they see their child in utero. Would you please consider creating countless Mother's Day celebrations? Preborn.org/wretched.
Well, if you're looking for a way to enhance your spiritual growth, let me point you in the direction of our video resources and MP3s that are available in the Wretched store at wretched.org. That's wretched.org. Video series like Transformed and Road Trip to Truth, Terrified 2, and others offer visual and engaging ways to understand and apply biblical principles. And for those who prefer audio while you're driving to and from work, we have collections that cover a range of topics from theology to practical Christian living, and we make learning easy on the go. These resources are perfect for your personal spiritual growth. You can also use them in group studies or in church. Each product is designed to be both doctrinally sound and practically applicable. So just visit the Wretched store right now at wretched.org, browse our video and audio resources, and equip yourself with tools you need to help you navigate this brave new world we're living in. You can shop right now at wretched.org. That's wretched.org.
Know your church fathers. Gregory of Nazianzus was the bishop of Constantinople in the 4th century. He wrote important works on the Trinity and the person of Christ. Gregory described the relationship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and taught that Jesus is fully God and fully man. His arguments are still in use today. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All right, folks. Well, this is the final stretch of our special Wretched Radio Takeover Edition. I guess we could call it that, with Pastor Jim Osman and Justin Peters. We've laughed and we've learned today. We've even cried a little. I've cried probably more than a little, but maybe it's just me. I don't know. Before we wrap it up, we've got one last segment to get to.
Segment 4, Struggles. Justin, would you please describe a typical day in your life and the challenges you experience? Then would you please explain how you not only appear to cope, but possess an attitude of gentleness and joy? What wisdom would you impart to someone who recently found themselves in a challenging situation? Jim is a pastor. What can we do to support those in churches who have physical and emotional and mental issues? Is he suggesting physical, emotional, and mental issues?
Yes.
Is that the underlying tone of that even that question?
He may not, but I will.
Okay.
Just kidding.
Justin, how do you deal with your mental issues?
Yes.
I see where Todd's going with that. How do you deal with physical handicaps? How do you deal with mental handicaps? That was the direction of those two questions.
Right. Can we just tell that joke, what you said at that time about having to live with my...
Sometimes Justin is walking across to a parking lot or something. He just goes slower than the average guy. Jimmy, I don't know if you've ever seen him walk. But no. He was doing that one time in a parking lot, kind of taking his time. And I said, you know, Justin, you are one of the most thoughtless people I have ever met. You have no idea what it's like for those of us who have to live with your disability.
Truth and love. Truth and love.
Folks, yeah, there we go. Truth and love.
Truth and love. There you go.
Okay. Justin, so, describe your typical day in your life.
Okay. I usually get up pretty early and
5 hours of personal quiet time.
Yeah, at least five. I do start the day with prayer typically, and I go into my office and begin to work and read and pray. And then Kathy fixes me breakfast. And
but what are the challenges that you face getting there physically? Remember, well, it was your physical handicap and my mental handicap. Yeah. Those are the two things we have to address.
You know, everything. I suppose everything is a challenge to some degree. If I drop a pencil or a pen on the floor, it's an ordeal for me to pick it up. Things like that. Now that I'm married, of course, I've been married for 13 years, but Kathy helps me with a lot of the things that I used to have to do by myself. She'll help me to facilitate time and help me with socks and things like that. So that is a blessing. But yeah, I mean, there's challenges. Just doing things that most people give no thought to is an effort for me. But all that having been said, I was born this way. I've never known anything different. And so for me, this is normal. And I think it would be a lot harder to have been able-bodied and then have that taken away from you, whether through an accident or a disease, multiple sclerosis, muscular dystrophy, something like that. So this is my normal. I don't miss walking like I don't miss flying in the space shuttle. I've never done it. So there is at least something of an advantage in that. But also, with my condition, cerebral palsy can be lighter than the case that I have, but it can also be far, far worse. And so I'm aware of that. I'm grateful for that. I can speak. Many people with CP can't, mm-hmm. or their speech is severely affected. So I'm grateful for that. And also, Jim, and this may sound like kind of a spiritualized answer, but it really is the truth. I know that I deserve hell, and anything short of hell is God's mercy and grace on me. So I have nothing to complain about and so many things to be thankful for. My cerebral palsy, God put right at that level. If it was any worse than what it is, I couldn't do what I do. Mm-hmm. I couldn't travel and preach and teach the way I do. So he put me right at that level. And it's
almost like he knit you together in your mother's
almost
womb.
Like he knit, you know, if there's only something in the Bible about that, almost like that. So I'm very grateful for it. And I've got nothing to complain about. And if I have to live the rest of my life with cerebral palsy, that's fine. I've got all of eternity to live without it. This life is a vapor.
I picked you up in your hotel room this morning at 7:30. I showed up to help you finish getting ready to get you to head downstairs to come over here. How long does it take you to get ready in the morning? I was there at 7:30 when I showed up. You were suit or shirt and tie on, you know, dressed, hair combed, teeth brushed, showered, ready to go. What's that process look like for you?
It's a long process. That's a 2-hour process for me just to get up and do all the things that you mentioned. That takes me about 2 hours to mm-hmm. do. So that's not me eating Fruit Loops, watching the Andy Griffith Show.
2 hours to get ready to go anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe my wife has cerebral palsy.
Wow.
I offer marital counseling too. We can do some of that after the show.
How do you not only appear to cope, but possess an attitude of gentleness and joy?
Oh, I guess it's just related to that. I know my sins have been forgiven. I know one of the great comforts to me is a healthy theology of the sovereignty of God. Mm-hmm. So whether I'm looking at the world that we're living in, the craziness of it, or whether I'm looking at my own life, it is a tremendous comfort for me to know, to have a healthy theology of God's sovereignty, to know that God is in control, to know that God not only will not act towards me in any way that's outside of his character and his nature, but he cannot do that. If you've never done a study of the attributes of God, do yourself a favor, study God's attributes, rest in him. The more we know him, the more we trust him. And that's where my joy comes from.
And it's not just sovereignty, it's wisdom. So, I mean, sovereignty without love is a terror to us. That God would do anything toward you and create you in any way that would be unloving, that would be a terror to you. But you have the sovereignty of God mingled with perfect love, infinite love, and infinite wisdom, that he knows not only who you are and what he wants you to do, but he has, in his infinite wisdom, created you as you are and given you this handicap and given you this ministry. If it were not for this handicap, you would not be able to have, not only do the ministry that you do, but you would not have that ministry in its current form.
It
would, I don't think, be nearly as effective. I think that's one of the things that gives you the ability to speak with authority on this subject and compassion and grace on this subject and have the impact you have because you're speaking to a movement of people that say that it's always God's will to heal people like you, and yet they can't heal people like you.
That's right.
And you're speaking to address that issue as one not who is able-bodied criticizing that message, but one who is crippled and criticizing that message.
Right.
And yet you're not attacking, as it were, that's the word others would use, not the word I would use, Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland, and those who say that it's always God's will to heal. You're not doing that out of resentment or bitterness against them, or resentment and bitterness for your handicap.
No, not at all. Not at all. Well, and let me say too, James says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. James does not say enjoy your trials.
Yep.
He says, count them as joy. Trials are not enjoyable. And I don't want to be all hyper-spiritual and say I enjoy being crippled. I don't enjoy it. You know, it's not enjoyable in and of itself, but I can have joy and do have joy in the midst of those trials because of the very things that you just said.
All right. I would love to take the time to answer this question towards me. What can we do to support those in churches who have physical and emotional and mental issues? But you gobbled up all the time talking about yourself. Jimmy, you know what my dad used to say?
What he used to say?
Nothing, because he was never there. He left me and my mom when we were three. So I don't know why you felt you had to bring up that sensitive subject. To those who struggle with mental and emotional issues, I say as pastors, we pray for our people. We love them. We sympathize with them. We encourage them, preach the word to them, shepherd them, and try and facilitate ministries within the church that will help out those who are the most needy amongst us, most in need of those special helps ministries. An active deacon board, an active group of servants in the church who can help and support and come alongside people. We have folks like that in our own congregation. Of course, you were in my congregation for a number of years.
Yeah.
And we exercise church discipline. Now he lives in Billings or Bozeman, Montana, wherever you're running from the Lord at,
Jonah. That's right.
Or the law.
Yeah.
Or the law, running from the law.
Running from the law.
Yeah.
Like the Duke boys.
All right. This has been a fun time. I want to thank the staff here at Wretched for making this possible. For Jimmy, for recording this, and Jimmy, make sure that you do cut out that part that I said about my wife taking forever to get ready. Make sure you edit that out so nobody ever hears that.
And I think the most important person actually heard that because she's sitting in the room with you.
Yeah, but I don't want the rest of the world to hear that.
Okay.
No, I don't care. Yeah, you give me the fist bump. I know this is going on air, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
All right. We've enjoyed it. Again, thank you, Todd, for this immense privilege.
Todd, thank you. Yes. It was an honor to do this. Thank you.
It was. We appreciate the ministry of Wretched. We love these guys, and the whole world will know that if these episodes actually ever do go live and ever see the light of day.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. Pastor Jim Osbin and Justin Peters here on this special takeover edition of Wretched Radio. And seriously, we can't thank them enough for taking the time to share with us. We really were blessed by the time that they spent with us here last year. And tomorrow, we'll be back to what we call normal around here at Wretched Radio, though I don't know how close to normal it actually is. But until then, go serve your king.
I asked ChatGTP to write a GPT to write a love poem to my wife, Deidre, about how much I love her.
Uh-huh.
And listen to this. Deidre, my love, my heart's desire, with you by my side, my soul's on fire. You can't really tell if that's an evangelical worship song or if that's a poem that I would write to my wife. Well, right? I can't help but feel blessed every day with you in my life. The world's okay. Your beauty, your grace, your kind heart all make me feel like I'm a part of something great, something divine, the love that's pure, truly mine. I cherish the moments we spend together, the laughter, the love, and even the weather. With you every day is a treasure, a reminder of a love that knows no measure. I thank the stars every night above for the gift of you, my one true love. You light up my world like the sun in the sky. Aww. I love you forever until the day I die. Deidre, my darling, I hope you know that I'll always love you through high and low. You mean the world to me, my heart and my soul, forever and always you make me whole.
That is beautiful.
So you didn't, now you know where that poem came from.
You didn't give it to her? You didn't tell her you wrote it?
I didn't give that to her. No, I wouldn't do that.
That's terrible.
I know.
Why wouldn't you take credit for that?
Every word of it.
You know,
I could generate 10 Hallmark cards a day now.